Lena, and you had a cup of coffee. I had my cup of coffee. And what about, you know, giving a high five to five people? There you go. And get to know. Yeah, there you go. Amen. We are family. Right, we are family. Amen. Yes. Give them a hug. Give them a hug. Give them a hug. Amen. Yeah, we break those monotony in our midst today. Bless you guys. Okay, folks, for those people who were not here last Sunday, we did the first sermon series on Love Our City. Do you love my t-shirt? And somebody came up to Susan and I. I love to have one of those t-shirts. And how much is it going to cost? Lillian, how much? How much, Lillian? I think it is $10 with HST. Okay, so you can make a mental calculation. See the back. And by the way, folks, I tried to type in www.loveourcity.ca, and apparently it's not up and running. It's not working yet. So Amber was notified to me also this morning, which I did also. So it's soon. Okay, folks, so if you want this T-shirt, so let us know. And we have all those announcements that Steve Long had announced a while ago. We have all those sign-up sheets in the foyer. Okay, last week we talked about one of the first sermon series on Love Our City, the heart of God for our city. And we talked about how important it is to love our city. And we gave you a lot of numbers, right? Kit and Eleanor, a lot of statistics. Wow, a lot of people are moving to live in the city. And God has a message in the city because there's an internal migration is taking place. People love to go and live in the city. So, and we shown up those statistics to you last Sunday. Now I'm going to talk about bringing peace and prosperity to our city, which is the second sermon series on Love Our City. How important is peace and prosperity? And peace and prosperity, they come together. You know, when you use your Bible, gateway.com, just type in peace and prosperity, and it gives you a list of peace and prosperity. So it is very important to seek peace and prosperity of our city, not for the city, of the city. So we need to be seeker of peace. Because God has commanded us to seek peace. God has commanded us to seek prosperity of the city. Prosperity and peace to our city. So our text is Jeremiah 29. And so when we say seek, it's an action. We need to do something. We need to aim for, pursue seek. Pursue peace, sorry. Pursue, aim at peace. Do something. You know, seek and the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it. Because if it prospers, you too will prosper. And I like that. And I like that. This is a commandment that God has given to us in our generation. It works during their time, Old Testament time, and it's the same word that God is telling us. Seek peace. Now, you know, what is the meaning of peace? It's hard to live in peace in a chaos society in our generation nowadays. You know, high blood pressures run up high. People are upset. People are always disturbed. People are get easily agitated, annoyed, and your blood pressure will go up. And if your blood pressure goes up, and you are always upset, you are always worried, you are always agitated, you are always complaining, you are always, then there's no peace, right? There's no peace. There's no peace even within yourself. There's no peace with each other, because if you don't have peace within yourself, how can you give peace with others? How can you make peace with others? And above all, how you have peace of God in your life. So folks, I have one definition that I pick up. What is the meaning of peace? Peace is the normal, not worrying condition of a nation. Wow. You know, my wife and I, Ivan and Louis, born in the Middle East. I'm sorry, Hen is here from the Middle East. And you know, there are a lot of wars going on, taking place in that part of the world, isn't it? You know, they consider it one of the, you know, hard places on the face of the earth, because they are all fighting. They're all at war. You know, they're always fighting. Maybe they are fighting for oil, fighting for money, fighting for ideology, fighting for what they want. And if nations are fighting each other, and there is no peace in that nation, right? So peace is the normal. So if you don't have peace, then who we are abnormal, right? It's not normal if we don't have peace. Another definition of peace that I got from Wikipedia, not the WikiLeaks though, a state of mutual harmony between people or groups, especially in personal relations. Try to live in peace with your neighbors. So if we don't have peace, it's about relationship, folks. It means right relationship. Is you yourself has a right relationship with yourself? Do you have a right relationship with others? Or do you have a right relationship with God? Based on that definition, to have peace, we should have a right relationship with ourselves, within ourselves, so that we can experience peace. Now, everybody's peaceful in this room. Because God called us to be what? Peacemakers. If God called us to be a peacemaker, and ourselves is not even at peace with our own selves, how can be a peacemaker? I know that's why people that are suffering from heart problem, they put a peacemaker, right? Those are gadgets. Oh, pacemaker, P-A-C-E. It sounds like peacemaker and pacemaker, right? It does. That's what it came from, that word, isn't it? Barb prepared peacemaker, not the pacemaker. So peace is linked or directly connected to obeying God's law. Nilda memorized Psalm 91. And she recited it when in times of trouble, and it comes very handy. So reading, memorizing, and hearing are one thing. What about obeying His word? It's another thing. And that is the difficult part, folks, when we obey to His word or follow His decrees. And if we follow His decree carefully, I will grant peace in the land. If we follow His word, his law carefully. It's not only your neighborhood, entire Brampton will experience great peace if we follow. And you will lie down where in green pasture. Wow, I like that. And no one will make you afraid at all. So it is directly connected to obeying God's word, observing his law, in order for each and every one of us to experience the peace of God in our heart as well as in our mind. 5 years ago, our finances was really gone wayward. And if you have a lot of stress in your life, it's because the pressure has become stress in your life, and it has taken you, and it's hard to focus on something. And if you hard focusing, if you have difficulty focusing on something, meaning you don't have peace because of the stressors of life, like financial trouble. Your bills are behind, and it brings stress to ourselves and to our mind. So Susan and I, one day, both of us, we knelt down together, and I said, "Lord, all those creatures are chasing after us. And help us, and please forgive us, oh Lord, if we mess up finances that you have given us. Give us a second chance, oh Lord, and help us to be a good steward of the resources that you have entrusted to Susan and I." We knelt down on our knees, and at the time we were doing hospitality homes. And Kit and Eleanor knows this girl from U.S. And she's different. You know, most of our visitors, they call us and send us an email to, you know, when and where to pick them up. But her different. She is different. So she said, "Okay, I will come on my own. Just give me your address. And when, I'll come on my own. Don't bother picking me up from the airport or from the train station." So anyway, we gave our address, and then there you go, she came, and we said to her, "This is your room." And this is what she said to Susan: "Do you believe in angels?" It's kind of weird for a regular, if you're doing an hospitality room, homes, And we never had that kind of questions from our guests, from visitors that are coming to our house. And Susan said, "Yes, we do believe in angels." And at that time, we were really, our finances is not really, it's bad. It's really bad. It wakes me up in the middle of the night. And had a bad dreams about it. And anyway, we asked for forgiveness and we asked the Lord to give me peace in my heart. So she stayed a little bit longer than usual. And usually those folks that are coming for a conference, they stayed for a week. But in her case, she stayed a little bit longer. And she's a Japanese-American. You know, our food are almost similar with the Japanese people, but she born and raised in Hawaii. And they, most of the Japanese, I'm speaking, we don't have a Japanese here, but they love fish and shrimps, seafood, I would say. And this particular girl, we have those little small shrimp, and I offered her to eat. She won't touch it. And she said, "No, Mel, thank you so much, but I don't touch those food." Strange. And I said, "Oh, this is a different Japanese that I know. And usually they love shrimps and seafood and fish." So anyway, she stayed with us for a few weeks. And beyond the normal stay for regular visitors. And she loves to be ministered at all times. And every time we pray together, she always cries. She always cries, 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 cries. She always cries. And she has a very angelic face, doesn't she, Kitten Eleanor? And she loves to go to the synagogue. She would ask us, "Oh, where is the synagogue? Is there any synagogue, like a Jewish synagogue, in the local area, in Brampton?" And as far as I know, I don't know. But through our connections at the ACF, so they directed her to some synagogues in downtown Toronto. So she would come, and she's always happy. And guess what? She gave all her contact information, her emails, everything, wherever she lives in the States. She gives everything to us. There you go. Here comes the time that she's about to leave. And she said, "No, don't worry dropping me off. I will take care of myself." And she's a single girl. So we let her go, and we prayed, and we blessed her. And this is the time that Susan and I were really struggling financially. My business is not really doing well. And 3 days later, Susan called me in at the office. She was shaking. She was nervous. She said, darling, we have a big amount of money in our bank account." And I said, "Oh, it looked like all those stress left me off." And blood pressure come back to normal. I like those sudden peace that comes to me. But I'm struggling a little bit on that one because of bank error. I experienced twice with the bank. But it's a good one, though. The first one was not good because the bank said, "Oh, you didn't have any money at all in your bank." And this is the same bank, and the bank is still existing, close to where we live. And the second time, I went through to the same bank in a drive-thru and get some $10. Guess what? Oh, I have still a lot of balance in my bank account. And I said, "Oh, wow." But those are bank error. The following day, bank called me in and said, "Oh, so I'm sorry, Mr. Natagok. It's our error. And I'm really, really bad. I should have withdrawn all those money in there and run away, and then maybe RCMP will chase me." So anyway, 3 days later, and Susan called, "Hey, darling, we have a bank, we have a big money in our bank account, and we had all those wonderful testimonies in the conference at the church, and all those miraculous supernatural provisions of financial to his people." And I said, "Oh, I'm really getting tired of hearing all those testimonies, and I would love to experience those testimonies." Anyway, here comes, and those kind of, unbelief that comes to me. I said, "Darling, it's all right. I don't trust the bank. We had experienced those bank error that we had in the past." And I said, "No, darling, I checked it with the bank, and the bank said, oh, somebody came to our to the teller and deposited personally this money." And we're talking about $8,000, folks. Eight grand. And I said, "Oh, darling, just calm down. I said, just leave it there. Anyway," and I said, "Oh, we will wait. If the bank says, maybe by mistake somebody deposited in our bank account." So anyway, the bank said, Susan called again after 3 days, and the bank said, "No, it's yours. The money is still there." And I said, "Okay, don't touch it." I said to my wife, "Don't touch it." And she's almost, tempted to touch it and go to Bramley City Center and do some shopping and pay some of our bills. And I said, "Just leave it there for a few more days." Anyway, the money remained for 1 week. We didn't touch it because it could be, it's maybe an error, somebody deposited by mistake, and then the bank realized, "Oh, I'm sorry, it's really our mistake." So, we just to make sure. Oh my goodness, folks. When we found out that is somebody really deposited that money in our bank account, and oh my, goosebumps in my body start to, and even Susan, and she felt like, you know, her head was growing this big. And we look at each other, telling who deposited that money? And we ask with each other, and we pose. And then I remember praying to the Lord, asking for forgiveness and financial breakthrough. It came to my mind. God put it in my memory to remember what I have prayed. When we both, Susan and I, both on our knees. And those are the moments that we were so desperate. And I said, remember, darling, when we were praying on our knees and asked the Lord, and we really come humbly before Him. And I said, Lord, help us, rescue us from this situation. And God, it's a sudden peace that comes to our soul, to our spirit, to our heart. Sudden peace. And I as if I'm hearing some little boys go and spend those money. But it brings me peace, though. It brings me peace. And then my wife, you know, sent an email to this girl, and she said, oh, I'm okay, I'm good. And Susan shared this wonderful testimony. Oh, somebody has deposited to our bank account this much, on that day. This is before Christmas. And she said, oh, I'm so happy for you. I'm so happy for you. That's what she said. And then the second time when Susan was trying to correspond with this visitor, there's no response anymore. She called the number. She used the same email account, even though it's not bouncing back, but it's no response at all. When Susan tried the second time, no response. Third time, no response. Fourth time, no response. And then Susan asked the Lord, Lord, how is she doing? And as if the Lord is saying to her, she's doing fine. And then Susan said, was she an angel, Lord? Folks, the Lord has brought us in the city, and wherever the city that you live in, to bring peace and good news. And we are totally unaware that when we even entertain and open our house to stranger like what we did, we didn't even realize that we are already entertaining angels of God. And it brings peace. It brings peace. So it is the angel of the Lord that grant us peace. He's a messenger of God that brings us peace. And it brings me peace in my spirit. It brings me peace. Mel is happy, Susan is happy, and our suppliers are happy, or our creditors are happy. Because if we are all in trouble financially, we don't have peace in our mind, in our hearts, it affects our relationship with one another in our home, and our community, in our city. That's why the Lord said, seek the peace of the city. And pray for peace. Prayer is a very important thing. That if we are struggling in the area of peace, we should pray for peace. And the Lord said, pray for it. Pray for it. Tranquilizers, Valium, is a multi-billion dollar business. People can get sleep in the night. They wake up in the middle of the night. They're all because of stress of life. No peace in their mind. People are in bad relationship. And you are expecting inner peace? I don't think so, folks. People are in debt, and we are all expecting in peace? I don't think so, folks. I experience it with my own life. If I had said something against myself and against other, and ignoring it and going back home is still in the back of my mind, it won't give me peace at all, folks. No peace. unless I reconcile and recognize my relationship and put it right. If I owe somebody, then I have to pay somebody. If I wrong somebody, then I have to straighten up and put it right, my relationship with somebody. Folks, it's an action that we need to do. We need to seek peace. If you want to experience inner peace within you, if you want to experience peace with one another, God has commanded us to live in peace with others. Be at peace. That is the message of God for us today. Go in peace. How can we go in peace if you yourself are in trouble? There's a disturbance, a turmoil within you. It's hard. So as a believer, what we should do? Pray and ask for it. After praying, speak it out. Peace, 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 peace. Speak it out. Speak peace to your situation, your current situations. And I prayed to my blood pressure, and I said, blood pressure, be normal and be at peace, peace, peace. And I say to my finances, be increased finances. I bless my bank account. I bless my wallet. And I speak peace. Because peace and prosperity are linked together. So speak peace. We are very good in speaking for something, but about peace. I remember living in the Middle East, and you know this. This came out in big news about, in Israel and Palestine. They are all talking about during Clinton's time. Peace talk, peace talk. And the more they speak peace, 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 they won't attain peace. Because the Prince of Peace was not there. And look at what's happening now in that part of the world. It's still in chaos. Right, Brother Henny? So this turmoil spread not to the individual, to each person, but as a nation. People are fighting war. War, 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 war. Why there's war? Because there's no peace. It's abnormal. Husband and wife fighting each other. Parents and children fighting each other. Employee and employer fighting each other because of their rights. They fight for their rights. And if we don't get what we want, it leaves some vacuum and void in our hearts and makes our spirit troubled, our mind troubled, bring disturbances, turmoil within us. And it's hard to get out from that situation sometimes. And we just drag on and live miserably in our lives. I was watching the dreams of, I don't know if Kit had picked it up from Suleiman. One Turkish guy, his name is Ali. He born and raised as a Muslim in Turkey, Istanbul, Turkey. And he always come home and beat his wife, and he's a drunkard man. And there was no peace within him because he didn't know the Lord. He was born and raised as a Muslim. And he was working as a plasterer in one of the construction company in Istanbul. These are true story folks. He has no peace at all. He always beat his children, his wife. And in his mind, there is something that's working in his mind, that he wants change. He wants peace in his heart. So he gone to the bar, and he asked for another drink. He gone there, and he stayed there for quite a while. And then the waiter said, okay, sir, this is the last order. And if you want last order, then I'll give you, let me know what you want. And then the waiter gave him last drink for that night because they are going to close the bar. This is happening in Istanbul, Turkey. And he grabbed the hands of the waiter because he was so desperate. He was in turmoil. He wants to change himself. He wants change. And he said, "Do you believe in God?" This is in the bar. And the waiter said, "Yes, I do believe in God." And Ali said, "I do believe in God also. But I always pray to God to give me peace, because every time I get home, I'm always angry, I always beat my wife, and I always kick my children, and I can't control my drinking habits." And then that waiter said, "Why don't you go to Saudi Arabia? Because in Saudi Arabia, there's no alcohol." Anyway, he listened. He went to Saudi Arabia. And guess what? When he went to Saudi Arabia, oh my goodness, he said he found some alcohol, because his friend showed him to the place where he can get an alcohol. Now, anyway, he's back to what, you know, his old habits. He started drinking. This is in Saudi Arabia. Anyway, his friend said, "Why don't you join Hajj? Do you know what is Hajj? It's a pilgrimage in Mecca." He joined the Hajj in Mecca with his friends from Istanbul, Turkey. And in the middle of the Hajj, he heard this voice, "Ali, get up, pack up your things, and leave this place now." And then he woke up and shared this voice that he heard to his fellow friends. This is in the middle of the Hajj. And he said, "Oh, Ali, it's only 3 o'clock in the morning. Maybe you are tired. Why don't you go back to sleep?" Anyway, Ali went back to his bed and sleep. The same voice. "Ali, get up, pack up your things, and leave now." So anyway, he went to his friend again. And his friend said, "Oh, Ali, you must be really, really tired." And they were talking among themselves, and they said, "Oh, Ali must be a little cuckoo." You know? And so they ignored him. And the third time, the Lord Jesus Christ showed to him in a dream. And the Lord introduced himself to Ali. He said, "Ali, I am Isa." Isa is a word for Jesus in Arabic. "I am Isa." Oh, when he heard it, he got up and he left Mecca. And he said to his friend, "I'm leaving." Because every time I heard that voice, it's becoming stronger and stronger. And he left the place, went back to Istanbul, on his knees to his wife. So it was a big surprise and shock to his wife. "Hey, Ali, 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 get up. What's happening to you?" She was crying, asking for forgiveness. "I want peace." And the Lord of peace showed it to me. His name is Isa. Now, his wife's name is Zara. "Zara, will you please forgive me for all those beatings that I have done and for all those pains that I have done to you and for all my drinking habits? Will you please forgive me?" And then Sarah said, "Yes, my dear, I forgive you." But Ali said, "Sarah, I am a Christian now. Will you accept me still as your wife? Because I am a Christian now. As your husband? Because I am a Christian now." And Sarah said, "Yes, I do." This is interesting what Sarah said. "Ali, whoever is your God is my God." And Ali found peace in the Lord and changed his life. And at that time, when in the village that he lives in Turkey, he didn't know anybody as a believer, as a Christian. And he knelt down on his knees and he said, "Lord, I don't know what to do. I didn't even know what does the Bible look like." And he went home. By the way, he got terminated from his job at Istanbul because he started sharing what he experienced in Mecca about Isa. The employer fired him. And people are, you know, his friends. But he changed totally. And he said, the Lord has been so good to him. He went home and he turned on the radio, this old Passion transistor radio. When he turned it on, there was a Christian program in that radio. Guess what? Call to Peace Ministry. This is in Turkey. And then he called his wife and he said, Sarah, Sarah, come. Isa is in the radio. And Isa said, how it can be? It's a radio, Ali. No, he's here, he's talking. Isa is in the radio. No, Ali. And he listened, he wrote down all those information, and he requested a copy of a New Testament. In 10 days, he got the New Testament. And he read the New Testament in one day. He read it. He was so hungry. And he had peace. He's one of the pastors now in Turkey. Folks, we live here in Canada. It's a democratic country. Sometimes the freedom that we are in has become our prison. God used those nations. And remember, the Muslim comes from the tribe of Ismailites, Ismail's tribe. And my name is Ismail. And God has blessed them also. But this is the time that God is revealing himself to these people. And when these folks is coming in thousands upon thousands, they need us. They need you to nurture them. They need you to give them a Bible. And that's how we make a difference in our generation that we live in. This is the time, folks, that we live in, that we need to be very serious. It's good to have a New Year's resolution and resolve for something to do for 2010. What about? Can you put in one of those New Year's resolutions that you have in your list, committing to study the Word of God and obey His Word? God says, everyone who obeys my words, everyone who hears my words is just like what? Like a wise man build his house on the rock. When the storm comes, rain comes, strong winds comes, the house is still standing on the rock. That's how important it is to study, listen, and hear and obey the Word of God, folks. But if we hear the voice of God and we hear His Word, we listen to His Word and doing nothing about it, it's just like a man who built his house on the sand. So our foundation is not that strong. Maybe small rain, 3 centimeters snow, and we just, That's how important, folks, the Word of God is. Whoever professes to be a Christian and say to yourself that you are a believer, then let's go for it, folks. Let's go for it. It's no time for us to live in complacency. It's no time for us to live in a wayward life. No medium Christians. We should be on fire for the Lord. Amen. In our time, in our generation. If you want peace in your heart, in your mind, in your spirit, and have peace with one another among you. I guess, and I'm just suspecting, even here in our congregation, the size of this congregation, I guess not all of you are in good terms with one another. And if we are not in good terms with one another, what kind of spirit we are attracting to this church and to our spirit? Somebody came up to us yesterday, last Sunday, said, I sense there is a stronghold in this place. I said, good if it is a stronghold of Jesus, but if it is something, another stronghold, that is not a good thing, folks. God has given us a spirit of discernment to discern what is a stronghold is. The success of this church is in your hands, folks. God has given us an ability. God has given us a blueprint to move forward and advance and make a difference in our society that we live in the city that we live in our time, in our generation. I would love to see it. I would love to experience the glory of the Lord come in a greater glory in my time.
Amen.
In my time. Who will decide it for you? You yourself. You yourself, folks. Who will decide it for you? Get on your knees. It's just so simple. The commandment of the Lord is so simple. If I will put it in my own way, turn right. Then turn right. If the Lord say turn right, turn right. If the Lord said turn left, turn left. Go straight. Go straight. Make a U-turn and U-turn. And recalculate. That's navigator. Navigation, the GPS. And if you will put that simple commands in your heart, folks, the gospel of Jesus is so simple. It's not complicated at all. When God said, seek peace, and then seek peace. Pray for it, then pray for it. Is that complicated at all, folks? I don't think so. I don't think so. Can that simplicity we can compound and we can make a big difference by obeying those simple words, folks, in our time, in our society? Whoever thinks you are smart, let be smart by obeying the words of God. By learning and experiencing the word of God, folks, and impact our society that we live in, your neighbor. We talk about evangelism. We talk about sharing the gospel of God here inside the church. What about outside the church? Do you have that guts at all to say to your neighbor, here I have candy and chocolate for you. I have leftover from last New Year and Christmas. Have it, you know, Muhammad Ali. I don't think so. If you don't have that kind of boldness, folks, pray for it. Pray for boldness. God is just waiting for your availability. Amen. And your willingness. And that's it. Amen. Your availability and willingness. Amen. If we are all led by the power of the Holy Spirit, let the Spirit help you to speak it out and bring conviction to these people. By doing so, that folks, it give you peace in your heart. It give you peace. You will have a night, sweet sound sleep when you go back to your bed, that you accomplish something for the Lord. Amen. You know, whatever peace that we have here when we go out, it comes out in our city, in our community. So God's nature is peace. Let's take Jesus in our city. I remember when Lillian and Norm was sharing in the poor corners in Brampton, hugging all those, homeless guy. Those are not one-time thing, folks. There are so many needs in our city. So many needs in our city. And you were telling me, hey, Mel, you know, I'm already old. I have a lot of arthritis. Oh, look at that comes out from your lips, folks. That is your own confession. And if we confess it with your mouth that you have all those arthritis and you are old, then you will be. What man thinks he is, he is. Is that what you think you are? And that will happen to you. It clouded all your faith and your godly belief system to the Lord. What's out? The word that comes out from your lips. Oh, I don't have my car. Yes, those are facts. But remember, I just shared it with you, supernatural provisions of the Lord. God wants us to experience His supernatural provisions, not only in the area of finances. God can touch Oprah Winfrey and come here. God can open the floodgates of heaven and pour upon us here. So that we have all enjoy our lives here as believers in Brampton and enjoy peace and prosperity that the Lord has for us in our city. For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. As in all the congregations, the Lord people, be at peace with one another, folks. Learn to live with peace with one another. Next, prosperity. Prosperity, I will go fast. It's linked to obeying God's law. So the same as peace, it's linked to obeying God's law. Submit to God and be at peace with Him. It's a command again. Submit, 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 submit. And the word submit in our time, in our generation, has become obsolete. Everybody's independent, enjoying all those freedom. And there is no accountability. There's no sense of responsibility at all. But God said, submit to God and be at peace with Him. Submit to God and be at peace with Him. In this way, prosperity will come to you. I like that. It's so simple. In this way, if you submit to God and be at peace with Him, and prosperity will come to you. It's just like automatic. It's automatic. Prosperity will come to you. If they obey and serve Him, they will spend the rest of their days in prosperity. You know, in Genesis said, the Lord said, my spirit is not content with human, for he is mortal. And he will believe, how many years? 120 years. And it says here, will spend the rest of their days in prosperity. If the Lord has given us, and I am an insurance agent, and we have all those statistics, you know, life expectancy, you know, the longevity in our country is shorter than it was. But God has given us 120 to live. 120. So if you buy insurance policy from me and you outlive your policy, whatever is those amount, we will give it to you, because in the natural, in the world, it's only 100. But the Lord is saying, God will give us 120 years to live. What is 120 years to live? It is not the man who we're talking. It is God who is talking. Oh, maybe in 120 years I'm like this, I will not enjoy my cruise. No! It is the Lord. Amen. It is the Lord. It is not your word. It is the Lord's word. That you will enjoy the fullness if you submit to Him. Making money to support the kingdom of God is encouraged. I love to make money. I love to make money. I don't like to be a burden financially with others. It is not an arrogant statement or a pride statement at all. I love to, you know, be financially independent on my own. But there are some instances in our lives that we need help from others. Oh, can I get 10 bucks from you, Brother Haney? There you go. I get some cup of coffee. You know, I don't have cash because this company is not taking debits. You know, or probably, oh, I don't have cash today. Can you get me? Can I borrow some money from you? But if you borrow money from somebody, make sure that you return it back. If they said, no, don't bother to repay me back, then that's another thing. But if you owe some money, pay. If you couldn't pay on the right time, and then tell them that, oh, can you give me some grace period, you know, to settle my debt. So that's why making money, God is encouraging us to make money to support the kingdom of God. In our time, in our generation, we have missionaries that came here, and we support them financially. If God will send you, remember when Scott and Hillary, they are now in China and in Thailand, and they need some financial support as well as prayer. It would be nice if we can experience that you are being translated, you know, over there in China and in Thailand without getting an airfare, paying an airfare. But most of the case, we have to pay our own airfare, and it costs money. And it costs money. And God has encouraged us to make money, not only for you to enjoy it, but to share with somebody. To share with somebody. Support those missionaries. Support your brothers and sisters that are struggling financially, so that when they prosper, you get prospered also. That is the principle, folks. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your prosperity. Psalm 122:9. God's heart is for prosperous city. Oh, I love that. We're talking about heart, the heart of God. I am not parents yet, biologically, but I would love to see my children prosper. That is in the natural. I love to see my children, you know, practicing doctors, engineer, I would love my children to be an asset to my community, to the city that they live in our, you know, in our generation. They love to enjoy, I would love to see them you know, enjoying the career, the chosen field. But if your children is struggling and miserably, you know, your heart breaks as a parent. But this is the heart of God, folks. He loved to see each and every one of us that live in the city of Brampton and any parts of the world prosperous. I am not talking and preaching about prosperity gospel. This is the truth. This is the truth. That God's heart is for you to prosper. Proclaim further, this is what the Lord Almighty says. My towns will again overflow with prosperity. My town will again overflow with prosperity. It's overflow. And the Lord will again comfort Zion and choose Jerusalem. Oops, I'm getting overtime. What do we need to do to seek peace and prosperity to come in line and place in our lives? Humility and character are very important in our lives. Very important. So Psalm 37:11 says, the humble will inherit the land. Would you like to inherit the city of Brampton? Amen. Would you like to inherit the city that you are living? Not only inherit it, but enjoy peace and prosperity. That's the key, folks. Humility is very important. Humbleness is very important. And Abraham, and the Lord said to Abraham, because of his weakness, of his meekness, it credited to him his humbleness, his humility. It is not false humility, Barb. It's a genuine and a godly humility. We can easily put face in our faces, pretending that we are humble. I will sit down in the corner, but then yet in your heart there is a sense of arrogance and pride. So this is a genuine humility. But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy peace and prosperity. There you go. Prayer time. Ministry time, not prayer time. We will go there. So if peace and prosperity come by obeying God's law, what do we need to do? We need to study the Word of God. We need to study the Word of God. Start a Bible reading program. There are a lot of things. We are living in an internet, high-tech generation. In China, because there are so many people and a lot of believers are coming to the Lord, they write down the scripture on the lips, dried lips. Dried lips. Here in our generation, here in our country, here in Brampton, here in Canada, very accessible. Just go to the bookstore. There's a lot of reading materials there. And look at my library also, full of books. I'm just accumulating all those books and didn't have time to read them all. Oh, Susan said, we will. Yeah, I will. I will be. So folks, commit for our reading a Bible. Some suggestion, read 4 chapters a day. 4 chapters a day. If this is just a suggestion, folks, you can program which is easier for you, that will fit for your needs. You may read 1 old or 3 new. Or you can read 3 old, 3 new. It's all entirely up to you. But commit a reading program of the Bible. Next. Join a cell group and be accountable. Rodney just announced about the cell group. Do not despise humble beginning, folks. Probably it's you guys becoming irritated of those kind of announcement Sunday after Sunday. Then if irritation comes to you, check your heart, check your spirit. Maybe you don't have peace in your heart.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
We can easily react than pro-react, right? We can easily judge than be a judge of ourselves. Join a cell group and be accountable. Read Lared materials. Steve Long mentioned about Lared materials. And we are releasing you guys to start your own round table without even completing School of Champions 1 or 2. God is raising up a generation to make a difference in our society. God is raising up a history makers in our generation at our workplace to share the love of Jesus. Let's everybody stand up, please. Sorry, I make a little overtime here.
Can we forgive you now?
Thank you, and I receive my forgiveness.